that Sanderson Ford country. Now, we've said for years, Arizona is Sanderson Ford country. But as we mentioned earlier, sweet Carol Grace Bohr, our daughter, is moving to the East Coast. And you're taking baby blue, huh?
Rhonda the Ranger is going to be our pioneering vehicle to Washington, D.C.
Blue Rhonda the Ranger is going to be y'all's ride all the way to beautiful Beltway, Washington, D.C., where you'll be relocating to. So, and then we'll be following you in Lucy.
Yes, that's right. In my 2014 Ford Escape, who has been my loyal companion for the last 4 years.
So you'll be making America Sanderson Ford country. We will literally be crossing America into Sanderson Fords.
No other way to do it.
No other way to do it. She's driving two Sanderson Fords. My mother in her garage only has Sanderson Fords. My sister-in-law only has Sanderson Fords. My sister has a Sanderson Ford in her garage. Romy, how many Sanderson Ford vehicles are parked on the Whitman farm?
Three.
Yeah, okay.
F-150, F-250, and an Expedition.
And at our office, there's, at any one time, there could be as many.
Two
F-150s, yeah. And in our office, there could be, at any time of day during the week, there could be 9, 10, or 11 Sanderson Ford vehicles. Folks, I've been shopping there for 30 years. Haven't shopped any, well, I have shopped other places. I have. And it convinced me I'm never going to buy anywhere else than the good folks at Sanderson Ford in Glendale, open Monday through Saturday, year-round, the most award-winning Ford dealership in America. And folks, there's a reason for it. And talk about community involvement. The list of things they do for the community are longer than both your arms glued together. You're looking for a new vehicle? Consider Ford. And when considering Ford, don't even think about going anywhere else than Sanderson Ford. New or used vehicles can be found on their 64 acres. You'll thank me for this. Sanderson Ford. Let's get to the callers. I'm covering the topic of do-it-yourself projects gone wrong, and four projects in particular in our newsletter of things we would tell you not to tackle yourself. But Dan has called with a question and a concern of something at his home.
Can I tell you, you've already gotten a thank you phone call from Miss Sharon.
Oh.
You know, she thanked you for taking the call from Dan, who had the disaster of a concrete coating job.
Yeah.
And she said she was really considering it and thought to herself, how hard can it be? But after hearing that, she's going to hire somebody. Said, thank you, thank you, thank you.
And usually what goes wrong in that project, and Romy, you've done a lot of that, is prep. But boy, it sounds like Dan did all the prep work he needed. It sounded like he scrubbed that thing down clean as could be.
And if you're not used to working on flooring, you're on your knees constantly, and you just get to a point where you're just so tired of being on the floor and hurting that you can... It's real easy to rush the end of the project.
Yeah. I bet that's true. All right. So a thank you call from a listener that decided not to tackle that project. Now, let's see if we can bring Dan in the conversation with his issue at his home. Take it real time and see if we can help him out. Good morning, Dan.
Hi, Rosie. How are you doing?
Super fantabulous.
Good to hear. So we recently purchased a home over here in Peoria, 2,100 square foot. It's got two AC units on it. One unit runs basically the hallway and the four bedrooms. And in the master bedroom, it's got all kinds of airflow, nice and cool and everything. But for the layout, it almost like the bedrooms are all in a line, so to speak. And when you get down to number 2, 3, and 4 bedrooms, it hardly has any airflow. Like, and they're not staying very cool at all.
And what vintage is this home? When was it built?
1987.
Okay. How old are the two units that are on the house right now?
You'll get a kick out of this one. Original.
All right. Okay, good. So Okay, all right. So we're running with bulletproof 40-year-old air conditioning equipment that's not keeping three of the bedrooms. Now, okay, so the next question is the most obvious question. Has this always been a problem, or is it a new problem?
Well, we just bought the house 4 months ago.
Oh, okay.
So kind of hard to say.
Okay.
Now, like I said, the rest of the house stays cool. Like, the other unit cools, you know, the living area fine, and it cools the master. So it's blowing nice and cold. It's just, for whatever reason, I can't seem to get those other two and three bedrooms cooled down.
Okay. Well, here's what we're going to do, Dan. I want you to get a hold of one of our whole house energy audit companies, Green ID or Rias, and I want you to pay the $99 to get the audit done. And they're going to do a complete analysis. The air distribution is a fairly easy problem to assess. Now we just have to develop a solution for it. We've got multiple tools in our toolbox that we can handle that. And if, in fact, the unit, the room at the end of the run is getting sufficient, we're going to create a little back pressure there and open up the lungs into the other rooms a little bit, and we ought to be fine. If that 40-year-old Carrier unit is producing cold air, we can get the distribution where you'll be comfortable. But let's start with that whole house energy audit. Call Rosie Certified Rias or Green ID. They both service your part of the valley. Let's get that report done, and then you're welcome to call me back, and we can visit about it at a later time. We appreciate the call, Dan. Thanks a million. On the topic of do-it-yourself projects gone bad, let's see if we can take Mike real quick.
Tell us about your story, Mike.
Well, I just got done wiring my sidecar for some running lights, and decided, in view of Hoover Dam and electricity cuts and blah, 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 I'd wire up an emergency solar panel and generator.
Okay.
Whoa. You got to know a lot.
Yes.
So I looked up on eBay and got three solar panels, 200 watts each. Figured wire them together and get 600 watts. That should do it. When I got them, they were they measured out to about 12 watts each, and so stuck with three solar panels that won't do the job. And if you think about it, all a man needs is enough to power the TV and the portable swamp cooler.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe you can take those eBay ordered solar panels and, why don't you buy a new motorhome and put them on top of the motorhome? It'd be enough to keep those batteries charged.
Oh, yeah. There's a million ways to do it. But I've got to call Fox Valley and get a consult.
Okay. All right. Well, Mike, we appreciate the phone call. You go from wiring your sidecar to attempting to solar wire your house. Now, there's a do-it-yourselfer.
All right, guys. I'm going to ask what I know everyone is dying to know.
Uh-oh.
What are your guys' biggest DIY fails?
Oh, Carol, you're going to ask that on your final broadcast, your final opportunity.
I'm going out with a bang.
To contribute to the show, you're going to ask us what our biggest DIY failures are.
I'm asking what the people want to know.
It would have to be a longer show.
I was going to say, we're going to need a couple extra hours.
Yeah, it would have to be a lot longer show. You rat.
I don't know that I've got one I'd ever call a fail. You know, maybe a learning experience or something to do better. But
mine's easy, but you go first.
when I was building my home, it was a wall system called Integra Block Wall.
Yeah.
And it's a masonry system that is a little different than your typical 8816 CMU. If you look at the top of a concrete masonry unit, it looks like a figure eight. You know, you could easily say it's a, you know, you got two.
Got that center web.
an Integra wall looks like an H. There's no member on the ends joining it, so it reduces the heat transfer by over two-thirds from the outside to the inside. To reinforce the structural integrity, you put a post-tension system into it, so you have these big rods that screw into the foundation of the stem wall, and then there's a top plate that's put on top that it's bolted down to, and then it's injected with foam. As we were building it, and I was putting this together, the electrician at the time, Joel Wheeler, who has since passed away, Wheeler Electric, if you longtime listeners will have remembered him. He was a great, funny old codger. And I say that enduring. He would love that title.
Yeah, that's a compliment to Joel.
He said, you need to let me get in here and run the conduit inside the block wall, and then it'll be a much sharper look than having to run conduit on the outside. And he told me that, and I just forgot, I forgot to halt it, because part of the Integra wall is, after the wall's constructed, they come and inject foam. And the foam is so dense, you can't do anything with it. Well, the masonry contractor finished on a Thursday. The foam guys were done by Friday morning at 10 a.m.
No.
And I didn't put together calling them off and rescheduling them until afterwards. And every time I went into the garage, I could, and see these conduits to all these electrical boxes draped all over the garage. I thought, gosh, if I'd have just remembered to call off the foam guys a week and let Joel come in here and run the conduit inside the wall, I'd be so much happier.
Oh, man. Well, it actually, my biggest do-it-yourself fail, I still remember it. It was replacing garbage disposal.
I guess I wasn't physically doing the work, but I was doing the general contract.
You were the superintendent. You were the man in charge. But replacing a garbage disposal once at my house was kind of a, you had to be kind of a contortionist to get into the spot where you had to rewire the garbage disposal. You had to plug it in. But I wasn't happy with where that outlet was, so I was going to rewire it. And the last thing I remember was getting almost completely my whole body in underneath the sink vanity. On a line, I thought the breaker had been turned off. And me and that 120 volts hugged together really tightly, and I couldn't get out from underneath the sink. It was a miserable experience. To this day, every day I walk up to the kitchen sink, I still kind of jump.
You kind of scream like a girl.
Oh, baby. Yeah, man, oh, man. Let's see if we can get with Sharon, who's called in real quick. Now that we've shared our do-it-yourself fail stories, and let's keep going on with y'all's stories as well. Ms. Sharon.
Yes.
Welcome.
Hi there.
How are you?
Well, thank you.
Yes.
I'm doing well. As I was mentioning to Jennifer, my project failed a partial fail, and it comes from 18 years ago when my husband at the time was retiling our office floor. We had original contractor carpet in there, and it was icky, so we decided to pull it up. And he did a pretty good job of doing the basics of just laying the tiles, getting them nice and flat and even. And then he got what I call project fatigue.
Yeah, so it happens.
He went ahead and he grouted it up and did, a pretty daggone good job. But for the last 18 years, I'm staring at pieces of the concrete subfloor where he just wasn't ready to tackle the tedious part of cutting all of the tiles to fit around an aftermarket installed wall unit in there. And, some of the corners that are way tucked under. So at first blush, he did a good job and it looks nice. But when you look down with all the lights on, there's the concrete subfloor.
Sharon, do you like baseball?
Yes, I like baseball.
And if you had your choice to watch the Diamondbacks play the Pirates, the Padres, or the Braves, who would you like to watch?
Oh, gosh, probably the Padres.
Okay. Well, you, because you're a victim of a do-it-yourself project gone bad, automatically win take two tickets to join us in the suite to watch the Diamondbacks play the Padres. And that's in about 2 weeks. We'll get in touch with you and give you all the rest of the information. So you know, being a victim of someone else's do-it-yourself project. That's what we spend a lot of time facilitating and moderating at Rosie on the House, the half-done, part-done, never-done projects.